Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to Talking with People, a quarantine football with Nate and Ryan production. I am your host, Adam Pallant. Now, as we know, the college life continues for Nate and Ryan, so I will be your ongoing guest host for the foreseeable future. And over the next several episodes, I will be going back to the grassroots of the show and talk about the NFL, recap last season, recap the draft, preview the upcoming season for multiple teams, talk about various topics of interest. But I will be talking not to players, but for those more important to the game, the fans, specifically fans who are friends of mine. So with that said, I am very excited about today's guest. I have known him since the mid-90s, and we have a history of watching playoff games together. Coincidentally, or unfortunately, our teams were rarely participating. He is a Franklin Marshall product, but a Jersey guy through and through. Here he is, my friend, Jeremy Fishman. How are you doing, sir?
Adam, I am doing great. It's an honor and a privilege to share the stage with you today.
Well, there you go. It's good to be back again, side by side. And we are going to talk some Jets football. How do you feel about that?
Well, first I will say it's rare that anyone actually chooses to voluntarily want to talk about Jets football, whether it be a Jets fan or not. So I'm excited that for even a brief moment, it may be something worthwhile talking about. We'll see how the season plays out, as we'll talk about. But I'm excited because I haven't had a reason to be excited for quite a long time.
That's true. All right. Well, let's sit back, make room on our couches for Brad Tweedy, and let's talk some Jet football. I hope you got your first aid kit. I hope you got your first aid kit because I'm about to open up some wounds. Okay.
Okay.
You like the Brad Tweedy joke, I guess.
I did. Perhaps we should allow the listeners just to understand how, maybe just real quickly, our history to make that make any sort of sense at all.
Oh, yeah, you go. So I can talk somewhat. Of course, Jeremy and I worked together at the Trend Thunder at the time, the minor league baseball, double-A baseball team of the Boston Red Sox. And Brad Tweedy was a pitcher on the team. And after games, the minor league players were well known to imbibe in alcoholic beverages. And when we were out, they needed a place to crash. So the couch at our house in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, which Jeremy and I and Matt Armentano all lived in, we had this huge brown couch that players would constantly crash on. And one specifically was Brad Tweedy, hashtag, where is he?
That's a very good explanation. And just as a quick aside, then we'll get to what we're really talking about. I recall in one sense, I believe there's a future brief Mets major leaguer who was crashed on the couch one day. I'm trying to remember his name. I think it was Raul something, but I'm trying to remember what his name
was. All right, Raul.
So you know, we made it up to the majors, so to speak.
There you go. And we were very integral in that.
Yes. Oh, listen, without that couch, he doesn't get a good night's sleep. Who knows? He could have gone into a slump.
That's true. And without that couch, many times Matt and I would not have gone to the house because we needed something to lean on a lot of those times.
That is also true. But those stories, we'll have to save those for another day.
Another day, I promise listeners, I will get the Jeremy back and other members of the Trend Thunder to talk about those days, if we remember, because it has been quite a number of years.
It has been. Are you saying we're old, or are you saying we were just or we were just very drunk?
Yes, I am. All right. So before we kick off, Jeremy, I got a trivia question for you.
Ooh, I like it.
Now, Jets management did not listen to their fans in 1995, speaking of the Trent Thunder years, and took tight end Kyle Brady with the 9th overall selection. Yeah, I know. See, old wounds. I told you. Which player did the fans want the Jets to select that year?
1995. I remember Kyle Brady. I remember being disappointed in that selection for one of many times.
Yes. Brady wound up racking up 949 yards in four seasons with the Jets before moving to Jacksonville. So
that's actually better than I thought he did. Can I get a hint? Is that appropriate?
Okay. This guy went on to be a 7-time Pro Bowl selection and won a Super Bowl as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It wasn't John Lynch, right? That would be too early.
Not John Lynch, yeah.
And he was also. I give up.
The answer is Warren Sapp.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good
He was on
selection.
the clock, and the fans of the Jets were actually screaming, "We want Chet Sapp." And the Jets said they thought he said, "We want Kyle," because you know they don't listen, and that's where it happened. And the rest,
See,
as we know.
I remember them making that chant. I thought they were talking like syrup sap type stuff. I was
Sapp,
very
yeah.
confused. I was naive then. I didn't understand. But needless to say, Warren Sapp proved to have slightly more impressive career than Kyle Brady and Blair Thomas and Brandon Nagel and any one of a number of terrible Jets drafts. Anyway,
Hey, you threw in your Nagel. You
I
wanted to
got
mention
Brandon
him.
Nagel in
The
there.
shout out
Yep.
to Browning. Yes. Excellent. All right. So let's recap last year. Now, the Jets started strong last year, 7-4. And then they collapsed, ending the season on a 6-game losing streak and failed to score a touchdown in their final three games. So, in your opinion, think about what went wrong.
Well, I mean, the simple answer would be they woke up and showed up at the field, but that would be, just a standard Jets fan
Right, right.
answer. I will. I Breece Hall going down was a significant issue. Breece Hall, who, quite frankly, most Jets fans probably weren't expecting a whole lot of, he comes out like a ball of fire. He was probably on pace to be the offensive rookie of the year that ultimately Garrett Wilson, also a Jet, ended up getting. But Breece Hall was on fire. And then he goes down, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they had a record of something like 5-2 while he was there. And if I do the math after that, they went like 2-and-whatever afterwards.
2-8.
So I really think that hurt him a lot because he, but I can't say it's all him. The fact of the matter is, though, he covered up for a lot of the Zach Wilson issues. Because the fact is, Zach Wilson did not pan out the way people were hoping or anywhere close to it. This is a league where you're made, teams are made or broken by their quarterback. And prior to this year, the Jets haven't had much to say in that department. So I think it's a combination. I think it's a quarterback issue. I think Breece Hall going down was substantial. They have and continue to have some offensive line issues. And honestly, they're still feeling, a lot of young players. And Robert Saleh is still, he's still an unknown as a coach. He's not Rich Kotite, but he's also not Bill Parcells yet.
Yes,
So.
that is very true, and I also think the biggest failure was the quarterback issue. Was it Flacco? Was it White? Was it Wilson? They wouldn't just give one quarterback this. Let's just do it and go with it. And because Wilson struggled, White was great, but he got hurt after that. They lost to the Bills, and then a week 13, he goes down, and everything just fell apart after that. So they just never gave the team to one of those quarterbacks and just go with it.
Yeah, the problem is that what they often say, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none, or you have three quarterbacks, you have none. And the fact of the matter is, you're right. They didn't want to entrust it into any one player. And by doing so, there was no continuity. One of my biggest pet peeves in football, I don't know about you, Adam, is, this whole wildcat thing. They'll bring somebody in for a change of pace play and come out, and it never works. Or maybe
Yep.
works like 1% of the time. It was cute when it first did it. Well, same idea. You're pulling, and part of it was injuries. But you're pulling in the quarterback, you're taking out a quarterback. There's no continuity. There's no, play. Each one has a, I am not a football player, but I would imagine you get used to the type of throw, the spin, all that stuff. And if you're yanking people in and out, their cadence, everything, how are you supposed to do it? So I think you're 100% right. I think there was a lack of direction there. Now, having said all that, I also think with Mike White, and I do like Mike White, and I'm sorry that he's at the Dolphins because he'll probably end up, haunting us. But I also do think, though, he did get found out a little bit. Not to say he's a bad player, but I think part of his success was the unpredictability. Nobody knew who this guy was or what he did. I mean, he's got the name Mike White. It might as well be, it might as well be Mike Smith or Joe Smith or whatever. So I do think he was, I do think he was also found out a little bit. But you're 100% right. The quarterback, and that sets the tone. And again, I think when they had Breece Hall, with Breece Hall in there, he was able to at least, you hand it off to him, let him deal with it a little bit. It gave the quarterback at least a little bit of space to maneuver. And when that was gone, then they were just piling up on that offensive line and whatever QB was there.
it gave the offense some credibility and some fear, so that the quarterback had a little time to work, got the ball to the receivers, and it opened up the field a little bit more.
I think
you nailed it. I think the difficulties with the offensive line, difficulties with the quarterbacks, difficult when Hall went down, and of course everything else with the Jets was just that's one wrong. So let's try to put a rainbow on it. What went right?
Well, after Breece Hall, I would say Garrett Wilson, uncovering Garrett Wilson. He was again, I don't know how much was expected of him, but he ended up as the offensive rookie of the year for, I believe, is it just AFC or is it for the whole league? I think it's just AFC, right?
Yes.
AFC rookie of the year. That's huge. I'm currently wearing an Altoon jersey. You can count on one hand the number in the last 30 or 40 years, the number of number one caliber Jets wide receivers. And, you know, while it's still early, Garrett Wilson is certainly trending that direction. So I think there was that. I think Joe Douglas, though he may have very well missed on that quarterback, he's hit on a lot of draft picks. You know, I live outside of Philadelphia. I live in Philadelphia Eagles country, and there's something to be said for the management of the Eagles. And Joe Douglas was a protege of Howie Roseman, who, by the way, I don't know if you know, he's from Manalapan, New Jersey.
Well, there you go. Hashtag Manalapan.
Yeah, hashtag Manalapan. But anyway, he, being a protege of his, you know, I was very excited coming in. I'm like, well, that's a team that knows what they're doing. And again, he hasn't been 100%, but he's brought in a lot of talent. Robert Saleh, again, I'm not 100% sold on, but I do think I like a lot of what he's doing. You know, so I think, you know, wait, how can I forget? Sauce Gardner.
Sure.
Sauce Gardner, probably maybe the best DB right already in the league. Also a very cool nickname. But yeah, Sauce Gardner was huge, is huge too. And actually that might be 1 and 1A with Garrett Wilson as I think about it now. So those three things are huge. You know, one of the few enjoyments we had at times over the last 15 years was Revis Island. And now, you know, he went into the Hall of Fame this week. But now we went from Revis Island to now we have a hot sauce Gardner.
Right. The Wilson duo, which is definitely impressive. And I think when I think about what really went right, they started off really strong and really gave the fans something to say, wow, you know, they may have faltered later, but they start, you know, that 7-4 in the first 11, undefeated in the preseason, which, you know, everyone can always run off the preseason, but it just showed the how the team came together. And they were playing really, really well. I mean, just a way above their head level, but to where they can be. And the defense was stellar. Ranked fourth in scoring and yardage. I think they only allowed 316 points, if my math was right. I mean, they held the opposing teams to almost nothing. The problem is they didn't score. They scored less than that.
They're the reason the Jets were just about every game. You're absolutely right. That defense was you're 100% right. That defense really that kept them in there. And you're right. If they had any semblance of offense beyond what they, you know, a couple of players we've talked about, who knows? I mean, this isn't the first time the Jets, unfortunately, have had a hot start. They went one season. I was trying to remember what season it was, like 86, 87. I believe they started off 10-0 or 10-1 and ended up losing the last five and not making the playoffs. So, you know, this isn't the first collapse, but that one, as opposed to they expected to be decent and we were heartbroken, this is one where it's like, hey, we started, like you were saying, we started off really solid. And yeah, we faltered at the end, but there was clearly talent there. There's clearly promise. There is a rainbow flickering through the clouds there.
All right, so there you go. So it's nice to see the color in your face and hear the song in your voice as you're saying there are positives there.
100%.
Okay, so we know what went right, what went wrong, and what they're carrying over to the next season. Let's look at the draft that mm-hmm. occurred, and let's get a feel for what you thought about some of the players. Their first pick, Will McDonald, the fourth.
Yes, not the first, second, or third, the fourth.
Yes, exactly, which I think is the best one of all four.
Definitely.
He was one of the most productive college defenders in many years, experts say. He's explosive. He's elite power. Comes at great angles. Not too shabby for the 15th pick overall.
No. And you know, kind of taking a strong defense and just making him a little bit, making him stronger. And I know, just having read Rich Samini and some other people, you know, their commentaries, you know, he's so far, he's been impressed. He was impressing in OTAs. He's been showing well. He's an Iowa State player, which, you know, in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean anything, but they've been known to churn out a little bit when it comes to some defense, strong defensive players. And I think he's gonna be a good addition. You know, like I said, the only other than maybe Will McDonald the seventh, that might have been the only other Will McDonald I might have gone with before the fourth, but since he's not born yet, you know, we'll just have to stay with the fourth. But no, I think I was pleased with that selection. Oh, you know, again, based on everything we're seeing, I think he's gonna fit slot in well in that defense.
Well, there you go. So I agree, and the reviews have coming in early have been very positive. They're also very high on the number two pick, Joe Tippmann, the center at Wisconsin. You know, they keep saying he was the best center in the draft, and for this Jets to get him number 43, that was pretty good for an addition to the offensive line.
I agree. Wisconsin, they pretty much they birth offensive linemen and defensive linemen. That's what the schools in Wisconsin do. They drink a lot of milk and they birth linemen. And so I'm with you there. I think he's going to be he could again. I don't right now. Very early on, you know, we know the offensive line's been struggling a little bit still this year, but again, Rome wasn't built in a day. This line's not going to change right away. You have new both for drafts and free agents, you know, but he definitely has the potential to help solidify what even a few years ago, they had a really strong line. It's gone to hell in a handbasket, and I think he's going to be a decent addition here.
Agreed, agreed. And then looking at the fourth round pick, number Carter Warren, the offensive tackle out of Pittsburgh. The feedback that I've read is that he's, you know, he's an older rookie. He's 24, and he is coming off an injury, a shortened season. Again, a torn meniscus. But I mean, they say he's not a bad player. Obviously, the Jets drafted him. But what do you think? You think it'd be anything, or is it just another player that'll be gone in a year?
Well, I'm not going to say I'm not sit, I'm gonna sit here and tell you I'm high on him, but I'm also not gonna discount him. He could do something. Like you said, he's an older rookie, he's had some injury history. You know, I'm not giving up on him, but I'm not gonna say I'm sold on him. I'm probably more excited about the pick after that, the running back, because all the Israel, please don't
Israel
make me.
Amenkanda.
Thank you.
Amenkanda.
I think that's the one who I'm a little more excited for, just because there's been a lot of buzz about him. Now, again, he's not going to sit there and overtake Breece Hall or anything, but I think, you know, I'm just excited about what they've said about him, and I'm excited about the fact that there's buzz about Jets picks, and especially Jets picks beyond any early pick, because that's where most of these. The teams that win the Super Bowl, they make their picks, they make their bones, not with the high first round picks. It's with everything else.
Absolutely,
With
yeah.
the depth, it's with everything else. So that's why I'm excited.
As I think, to combining him with Breece Hall, I mean, he's Israel's a workhorse, and I like him.
Candy
So I,
canes, workhorse, I agree.
so there you go. So that, so honestly, I think the draft. I think the Jets did very well in the draft. I don't know if we're cursing them or throwing out the juju by saying positive things, but I don't think you and I will be the ones to bring that team down.
Well, you won't. I can never speak for myself. I've been known to, you know, take down a few things, by witness by all those fantasy teams I did horribly with.
That's
But
true.
no, I'm with you. Listen, I think they were heading in the right direction before. I think the picks they had, for the most part, have solidified that. You know, we'll see as they get on the field. But I'm not displeased. I'll put it that way, which is a big deal for a Jets fan to say. I'm not displeased with their draft.
No. So that's good. So we're coming off a strong draft. And now you're looking towards 2023. So what this part of the show is, we're going to go through the schedule and you're going to give me the wins loss. I've already made my picks as to what I think they're going to do this year. So we'll go through each game and you can give your win loss and any kind of feedback you want to provide. We know the Wilson brothers will be there. We know Rodgers will be there. Defense is strong. And in my opinion, I really think this is a very easy schedule. So We'll skip through the preseason, even though they already lost their first game to the Browns, but that was without Rodgers. So we're going to kick off Monday Night Football, Buffalo Bills at home in New Jersey. What's going to happen?
Well, I need to qualify and just say one thing prior to me saying whatever, wherever this goes. Well, two things, actually. One, it's interesting that you say you think they have an easy schedule. I actually think they have kind of a difficult one. Not the hardest in the world, but AFC in general is I believe, the superior conference. And I think and that AFC East is such a strong division that they'll have to play twice. So I'm very nervous, and I actually suspect that they're going to start off very slow, even though they may show a lot of improvement. Having said that, Buffalo Bills, it's not just a Monday night game. It's September 11th, right? That's and September 11th is not an insignificant date in our country's history and certainly in the New York area. You know, it'll be the first Monday night game, as you said. It'll be a lot of fanfare and all, you know, and all sorts of stuff. There'll be a lot of emotion. I'm actually, and this goes against what old Jet fan Jeremy would normally do, I'm going to say I think they're going to pull out a win.
There you go. Excellent. I am happy to say I agree with you. I think Buffalo had a lot of off-season issues with Stephon Diggs and how they fell apart late last year, and I think they're going to have a hard time coming together early. I mean, they as a Steeler fan, I remember when the Steelers beat them early in the year, and I think they just have that difficult time getting that first win in the first week. So I also agree with you that the Jets are going to start off 1-0. So take it as you want, fans. Jeremy and I are both agreeing at a 1-0 start. So now they are off to the Dallas Cowboys 6 days later.
Yes, and I need to preface this one very briefly. My absolutely amazing, lovely, beautiful wife is a Dallas native. She is a hardcore Cowboys fan, although she's been in the Northeast for quite a long time. Every day she is listening, Alicia is listening to her Dallas sports radio. So this will be a very tense day in our house. Mm-hmm. And somebody is going to end that day very unhappy. And they say, happy wife, happy life. And I do believe that. But for this day, it's going to be unhappy wife, happy life.
Going
to take them out, even though I think Dallas is a decent team. They're going to start off 2-0.
I am happy to report, and although hopefully your wife does not hate me for that, I am giving the Jets to win as well. I am not high in the Dallas Cowboys at all this year. You know, I love the wide receivers, and Dak is quality. There's just something about the team. They keep falling short. And I think eventually they needed to be broken up. They got rid of, their key running back.
Elliot.
Thank you. I had Dak's name in my hand. I couldn't remember Zeke for a second. But yes, I agree with you. I'm not a fan of them. There is the Cowboys. And I get a win. So we are now starting off the season, both 2-0, which will lead to 7 days later, coming back home against the Patriots.
Yes, the Patriots. If this were a National Geographic like animal thing, they would reference the Patriots as, you know, the natural predator of the New York Jets. And for obvious reasons, the Patriots have been for most of the last two decades, they've been the stalwart franchise. While I am not nearly as high on them as a franchise currently, and I'm not so sure that, I don't believe the game has passed Belichick by, but I'm just not sure if he's right there on it. Having said all that, they've got their way. They've had their way with the Jets. And despite the fact that this is a new look Jets team, there's a lot of new players, I believe the Patriots are going to win that game.
Okay. I'm not very high on the Patriots. I'm not a fan of I don't want to say I'm not a fan of Mac Jones. I just don't think that he has that natural winning ability. And I agree that I think Belichick is starting to show his gray. And I actually think the Jets are going to start season 3-0.
Wow.
I know. So how about that? And if you want some, comparisons, remember, I thought the Phillies were going to be terrible this year, and they are now 11 games above 500 going to tonight's game. So my picks and expertise in sports is about as high as I am tall, which is not very at all.
I did mean to ask you before we started this, how successful are you in this picking thing? So, because obviously, if you're very successful, then I want to be kind of matching up with you. If you're not so successful, then I guess we're gonna find out though. Huh? I'm trying to decide, should I be going to DraftKings or FanDuel? Neither are a sponsor currently. And should I be laying out my kids' college education on your suggestions?
I would definitely not do that. L
Okay.
looking back at my draft picks or my picks of the season, I am usually about 65% right,
Okay.
which is losing.
Well,
60, so it's
if you were playing baseball, you would be far better than the best hitter ever,
that's
at
true.
650.
And if I was taking a geometry test, I would be taking summer school. So it depends on how you look at it.
Good call.
All right, so with you, I'm 3-0. You're 2-1, and after the Patriots leave, here come the Kansas City Chiefs.
Here comes, it's a Sunday, currently scheduled at 8:20, so it's a Sunday night football, NBC. Collinsworth and Tirico will be there, and this is also, as you said, this is also a home game at MetLife Stadium. Kansas City, well, obviously they're a great team, they're a Super Bowl winning team. They've let Bieniemy go as their offensive coordinator. We don't know what that means. I kind of, we got one of their the Jets got one of their cast off wide receivers, Hardman, who I briefly had on my horrible fantasy team last year, who I'm not a fan of. I don't think the Chiefs are unbeatable, but I don't believe the Jets are going to beat them. I think they're going to lose it. They're going to have a 2-game losing streak, and they're going to be 2-2 after that game.
All right, so I unfortunately agree with you. Although I'm sure I believe the Chiefs are going to take a step back. They're not taking a giant leap back losing to the Jets, even if it is at MetLife. I just think the Chiefs still will bring enough. And now that Andy Reid's son's in jail, it's one less thing for them to worry about. And I'm sorry, that wasn't supposed to be offensive to anybody. I'm just saying now, at least he knows where his
I see
son
what you're
is.
saying. It's
He
one less
knows where his son
distraction
is.
for him because he
Yeah,
knows his
now he
son's
can
safe
focus on the
where he
team.
is.
Exactly.
That makes sense. I'm with
Yeah,
you there.
thank you. I appreciate you because at least you know that I don't make random jokes like that and probably
You would
shouldn't either.
never make a joke like that. That could be taken the wrong way. Absolutely not.
That's
I
true.
no, absolutely not.
That's true. So I wanted to say, all right, so now that the Chiefs have beaten up on the Jets, 7 days later, the Jets will play the Broncos at Empower Field at Mile High in Denver, Colorado. What's going to happen, Jeremy?
Well, this is also Columbus Day weekend, so there'll be lots of people traveling, visiting different things, a 3-day weekend from school. Sean Payton is a new coach at the Denver Broncos. The Broncos last year were just an absolutely abysmal team. And Sean Payton, I do believe, is a far superior coach than their former coach, Nathaniel Hackett, who, by the way, is the Jets offensive coordinator, mostly handpicked by Aaron Rodgers because
Yikes.
he's his guy. I don't believe the Broncos to be a very good team, but I believe Denver to be a very tough place to play. The Mile High City, the travel. So this game concerns me greatly. Optimistic Jeremy, which doesn't exist very often, is going to say they're going to squeak by in a win, but it's not going to be pretty.
All right, a squeaker. As I say, I'm going to agree. I don't care if it's Sean Payton or former Mets outfielder Jay Payton managing this team. I think the Broncos just don't have enough. They don't have enough of anything. I predict again. I don't really measure how much of a win, but I'm giving the Jets a win in Denver. I'm predicting Denver having like 3 or 4 wins this year total.
You
So
could be right.
there you go. So through the first five, I'm 4-1. You're 3-2, and the Jets come home to face the Eagles.
They do. This is Sunday, October 15th, 4:25 p.m. Eastern Time.
That's right.
This is not an insignificant day. October 15th, 2023, will be the third. Wait, is that right? Hold on a sec. 35th anniversary of my bar mitzvah.
There you go. So very important game.
And you know who's at my bar mitzvah besides
That
me?
would Weird
The
Al
Philly
Yankovic.
Fanatic. No, the Philly Fanatic from
Oh, didn't you have Weird Al as well at some point in your life?
I've met Weird Al, yes.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yes. He and I were best buds for the 30 seconds we took that picture.
Oh, I see. That's another story we'll share another time.
Oh,
but
yes.
Fanatic. There you go. There's your connection.
So there's a Philly tie-in and a date tie-in. You know, it's all coming together. The Eagles are good. Eagles are really good. The Eagles scare the heck out of me. I don't believe any team to be unbeatable. I think they will come in and I think they will take care of the Jets pretty handily.
I agree. Again, being an anti-Eagles fan, both not only an anti-Eagles team fan, but anti-Eagles fan, because I just I'm just not a fan. And I think the Eagles are very strong, well managed, well run, quality players up and down both sides of the ball. The Jets are going to lose, and they're going to go into their bye week, October 22nd, which, as you said, will then be a week to 13 years after your bar mitzvah, give or take. And they'll be 3-3, according to you, and 4-2, according to me.
Yes, and real quick question. Do you think it's inappropriate if I dig out my suit from when I was 13 years old, put it on, and try the Haftorah again? Read the Haftorah.
I was going to say, if you can put the tefillin on and you can find a yarmulke to fit your head, then go with it.
Okay, well, let me think about that one. I think I can do the yarmulke. The rest of it's icky.
By the way, this part of the show is very exciting because now that we're talking this much Jewish references, now the rabbi will listen to my podcast. So I'm excited about this.
Excellent.
Another fan, shout out, hashtag Bethel.
And for your rabbi's information, I was the valedictorian equivalent of my Hebrew school class.
Ooh, nice. I was the biggest troublemaker at Torah Seminary in Twin Rivers. So they actually have my picture. Do not let this guy in the synagogue.
That's not the only place that has your picture. No, don't let him. There's lots of places.
Not.
We don't have time for that, though.
No, again, we'll go into that another time. All right, so bye week, a time to heal.
Feeling good about this one. I'm going to say we're not going to lose the bye week.
Okay, there you go. I have it. I have it down. So they officially will not lose. Of course, on the flipping the coin there, the official will not win either. So we need to come back from the bye week. You're back home, but now you're facing somebody who just happens to live next door, the Kramer to yours, Jerry, the New York Giants.
Yes, I hate the Giants. I also hate the Cowboys, and I hate lots of things. I also hate healthy foods, but I hate the Giants. I hated it when we played in Giant. Then when they played in Giant Stadium. I hate them when they're playing at MetLife Stadium because, by all intents and purposes, most people think of it still as Giants Stadium. Jets have never really had their own stadium since Shea. Anyhow, the Giants are an interesting team. Again, I think they're a decent team. I think Daniel Jones has surprised me. I think Saquon, if he stays healthy, is good. I think there's a lot to like about him. But having said that, well, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I want this win. And I'm not sure, actually. Oh, Jets are considered a road team because they're at the Giants. Even though it's the home stadium for both of them, the Jets will be considered the road team. I'm going to say the Jets are going to win, although I'm not confident on that. I'm going to say the Jets are going to win.
Okay, I did agree with you. And I apologize for any Giants fans out there. I'm not a fan of the team.
Don't apologize. They've had Super Bowls in their life. I don't feel bad for them.
They have. But of course, they've had some very bad players too. And one can only hope that they recover and have an okay year after this one. I just don't see it this year.
Yeah. No. Again, the Eagles are the cream of that crop. Although, but again, I wouldn't be surprised if they won, but I think the Jets are going to surprise them.
So there you go. We both agree with my picks 5-2, your picks 4-3. The Jets will be at a sleep in their own bed for the following week when the Chargers come to town.
They do. The Chargers of Los Angeles, the team that nobody in Los Angeles cares about, that previously was in San Diego, that not many people in San Diego cared about. The Chargers have an amazing young quarterback. They've got some talent on offense and defense. For some reason, they've got a coach who, while young and exciting, has made some terrible decisions and probably has almost lost his job 5 times. Los Angeles concerns me. And by the way, this is the first game in November.
That's true.
And currently it's scheduled as the Monday night game.
That's right. Another
prime
time.
Pressure.
Big prime time.
I'm going to go because I think if this were a road game, I probably would pick the Chargers, not because of home field advantage, just because of the travel. But I'm going to go with the Jets on this one. I think Fireman Ed is going to have everyone the fans ready. Jets are winning this one.
5-3, and I am happy to say I agree with you. I'm not a fan of the Chargers. Generally, when I say I'm not a fan of the Chargers, I just don't think they're going to be that good of a team. And the fact that I have the Jets beating them, they can't be that good of a team. So
seriously,
exactly. So 6-2 in my prediction, 5-3 in yours, Jeremy. And we go now 6 days later, staying with the former California team, the Raiders, who are now living La Vila Loca in Las Vegas. They played at Allegiant Stadium. What's going to happen?
You've seen the movie Hangover, right?
I did.
Yes. Well, I'm picturing, and I apologize, and my wife's making fun of me because I can never remember character names or anything, but Zach Galifianakis' character is going to be played by Aaron Rodgers. And his little wolf pack, which will include Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, Sauce Gardner, they're going to come together. They're going to probably have a lot of crazy experiences in Las Vegas. I'm a little fearful they might have a naked man locked up in a rental car trunk that pops out of nowhere. They might end up getting, you know, with Mike Tyson and a tiger in a suite. I don't think the Raiders are a very good team, but I do think that this turnaround, I think the Raiders are going to surprise the Jets and upset them, even though I think the Jets are a much better team.
All right. So you're giving the Jets the loss, despite your thoughts that the Jets are the better team because they're the Jets.
I just think it's a travel, it's Vegas, and you know, some things just happen. You know, I think it's gonna happen. I'm hoping it's not, but I think it's gonna happen.
It feels to me similar to my last episode when I talked about the Steelers playing the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are that good of a team. And this is kind of starting the flow of almost the when I called this the schedule very weak. I don't think the Raiders are gonna be very good. I think Carr is average. Is he still there?
No, he's not actually. He's now in New Orleans.
That's what I thought.
I believe Jimmy Garoppolo, if he stays healthy, is there, but I don't expect him to stay healthy. And I don't know who their backup is.
Even worse is Garoppolo. So I think he did great in San Francisco. He's not going to do it in the Raiders. I don't know why I was thinking Derek Carr. I think it's my long work day that I just forgot he was gone and didn't look down at my notes. But nevertheless, I have the Jets winning. I have the Jets winning that game in my early.
I think that's reasonable. I got to be honest with you. Nothing. I'm just looking right now. Currently in the depth chart, Brian Hoyer's the backup. There's no good reason for me to think that the Jets will lose. But I'm going to stay with it just because sometimes you have those letdown games, and I just feel like Vegas is going to be it.
Okay. Well, again, you are a Jets fan. You have experienced letdown games, unfortunately.
I've let down seasons and decades. Decades,
yes, exactly. So with that said, if they're leaving Las Vegas, they are now heading to Buffalo to face the Bills for the second time. And I think both of us had the Bills losing that first game. So what's going to happen in Buffalo?
Currently a Sunday afternoon game. So while the Bills are, again, if you're a National Geographic, another predator or natural enemy of the Jets, I have to say I have a healthy respect for Bills fans, Bills Mafia, in part because they're just so cray-cray. I mean, jumping through tables and dousing themselves in ketchup and mustard and other things that we can't describe on this nice family-friendly podcast. You know, they are a great fan base. They are accustomed to ultimately being disappointed. That team, again, I do think is in a precarious position where they're good, but they, you know, are they going to be able to make a turn? With all that said, I don't see the Jets sweeping the Bills. I think the Bills will win this game.
I agree. I think by the time you get to November, the Bills seem to always be, they're on track. They are all the pieces will be clicking, and there's no way that the Jets will beat the Bills in Buffalo. So I have them as losing as well and falling to 7-3. You have them falling to 8-5. Is that right? Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. No, that's not right. Yes. Yes. Doesn't matter. Yeah, it goes one of us. So wait, do you have more wins? That can't be right.
Oh, wait, no. I think you're 8-5 right. And I'm 7-6.
You had 5-3, then it's 5-4, and then you're 5-5. I'm 7-3.
Oh, yeah, I can't do math
Yes,
either.
5.5. So
You're
you're staying at 500 in November. Sorry, my handwriting is terrible. And the year 5.5, I'm 7-3. And now we move to another game back home. The Dolphins are coming to town. And if I remember correctly, you had the Jets and Dolphins earlier. No, you didn't.
This is their first game against the Dolphins this season.
All right, there
It's
you go. So
weird.
there you go. So there you go.
I believe this is a Friday. This is Black Friday. This is a Black Friday game. The first
This
time I
is.
believe that
Let's not be racist.
it's on Prime Video for those of
Yeah.
you who have it. And so it's a 3 o'clock game, which is an interesting time. Boy, it's in Jersey, which is good, but it could also be bad because the guys will be so because Sauce Gardner might be so stuffed with cranberry sauce and whatever other sauces one eats on Thanksgiving that he might not be able to cover a very dangerous Dolphins wide receiver core. I'm not a huge Tua guy, but I have a healthy respect for what that team has put turned around. I like their coach. I think they're going to lose.
Okay,
Jets are going to lose.
so they are now falling to 5-6 in your opinion. I, on the other hand, am not a believer in the Dolphins only because I think Tua is a little fragile, and I think they do have a great receiving core, but you got to have a quarterback to get the ball to them, and
True.
so I think in the first matchup of the year in MetLife, the Jets are going to win. They're going to go to 8-3 on the season. With a win over the first time matching up with the Dolphins. So, just in case my uncle Charles does listen to this podcast, he always says he does, but I think I've mentioned him 4 times in the last 3 years and he's never said anything about it. But Charles, sorry, the Jets are going to win. And so let's move on to the first game in December of 2023. Atlanta Falcons coming to town.
They do. And I don't know what to say about the Falcons because they are probably about as much of an enigma to me as anyone else. I don't, that whole division is kind of feels like a wasted space of whatever because between them, the Saints, was it Carolina and Tampa Bay? I actually had to pull up the depth chart right here to see, okay, so Desmond Ridder's now their starter. I didn't even know that. So what, Taylor Heineke's their backup.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry, I had to do. For some reason, I was thinking Marcus Mariota was still there, but he's not. You know, Falcons are just. I mean, again, obviously anything could happen, but I'm not. I think this they're in a rebuilding process. I think the Jets will smite them.
Yes. Whether it's it was a Desmond Ritter, he said is the
Yeah, Desmond Ritter.
whether it's Desmond Ritter or former actor on Three's Company, John Ritter, it doesn't matter. And Falcons do not have the resources to win this game.
I
And I
concur.
have the Jets going to 9-3. You have them back at 500, 6-6.
Yes.
As we look at the 7 days later, staying home for the third consecutive week, the Houston Texans come to town.
Yeah. Houston Texans. From one enigma team to another. Current quarterback depth chart is currently CJ Stroud with the backup of Davis Mills and a third string of Case Keenum currently. Obviously, that could some of that stuff could change. They signed Robert Woods this year, which means nothing to me because he was a fantasy nightmare for me because he never did squat. Again, I will say I don't want the Jets to look past this week to the next game. That's one of my one concerns, but I think the Jets should take care of business with the Texans.
All right, I'm also agreeing with you, and I
And that
really
puts us
heard.
2-0 against the state of Texas, by the way, which
That's
puts
true.
them, you know,
She
sorry,
and you got to
Alicia.
be very careful to sleep with your back to
Right.
you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
here's my question. This isn't going to air before I get home, right? I need to get myself safe.
Yes. Yeah. You'll be all right. You got
Okay,
plenty of
good.
time. You got plenty of time to make sure your will is updated. As another anti-David Carr team, I'm not a fan of the Houston Texans, especially this year. I think it's going to take Stroud a while to really become a quality QB in the NFL. So I'm giving the Jets the win, which will be the 10th win on December 10th. And you moved to 7-6. So we both have them above 500. Mine is looking really good. Yours is looking about Jets-ish, but just barely
Yeah.
above 500.
Although 7-6 again, many seasons I would have taken that and run with it.
There
So
you go. All right. So I'm just feeling optimistic about this team. Maybe it's just because I was excited to be talking to you. Maybe it's because I finally learned how to spell the word Jets after listening to them. All that.
You mean the sheer J-E-T-S never really gave it away, huh?
I kept going J-E-S-T, which made more sense to me based on the team because that was Jets.
J-E-S-T, Jets.
Jets. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So and now we look at, we got four games left, Miami Dolphins in Miami. Now, with last time we just talked about them 3 weeks ago, you had them as a loss. I had them as a win. What's going to happen here?
So this last four games, the Jets are on the road three of the four, which, you know, is a bit concerning. Now, if you have to go somewhere in December, Miami's not a bad place to have to go, assuming it's not completely underwater by then. Despite the fact that the Dolphins took them out from my prediction in New Jersey earlier, I think they're going to... The Jets are going to find a way, and they're going to, I think it's going to be squeaker again, but I think they will squeak past them in Miami as Aaron Rodgers rips off his shirt and shows us his Rex Ryan's wife tattoo that he just got.
Outstanding. I was more concerned you were going to say his third nipple, but well,
I agree.
To
talk about that. Neither do
okay.
I.
We'll hold off on that till another show. I agree with you. I think the Jets are going to, they're going to sweep the Dolphins this year, which will be absolutely hilarious. Will make most people in Miami sick. That and, of course, DeSantis. I'm going to give the Jets the win, giving them 11-3. And you are now have them at 8-6, which is outstanding. And we, the Jets fans are happy as they go, they come back home to face the so-called NFL Washington Commanders.
And this is their last home game of the regular season, Jets, it is. The Washington Commanders, well, they've already made – their number one free agent signing probably of the last 20 years, and they shipped off their old ownership and got new ownership because Daniel Snyder, who is a tribal member, a fellow tribal member, he was proved to be one of the worst, one of the worst owners in recent memory, if not for NFL, maybe forever. Washington's current starting quarterback is a guy named Sam Howell, who, to play off of your game, not Thurston Howell from Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Not Jay Howell,
former Oakland A's pitcher.
Yes.
Or Ken Howell, the former Phillies pitcher from the 1993 Phillies team.
Or Howell, New Jersey.
That's very true.
So having said all that, again, I think Washington has some talent. I don't think they're an amazing team. I think even last year they were showing. I think Rivera's an okay coach. I'm curious to see what the enemy does with this offense and with the talent that they do have. I believe the Jets are going to win this game, but I'm nervous. I'm going to give the Jets the win, but I'm nervous.
Okay, so there you go.
And
so,
by the way, it's Christmas Eve.
Very important to know, because you got to know what to get Snyder since he doesn't have a team anymore.
Yes. Well, you get him coal in his stocking, in his Jewish stocking.
Most fans in Washington want to give him coal in seconds.
Or an enema.
Preferably coal that's burning.
Yes.
I think Washington's going to be terrible, absolutely horrendous team, and I apologize for the many or the few Washington fans listening to this podcast. I'm giving the win to the Jets and putting them at 12-3 already, with the true Jets fan putting them at 9-6.
Which, by the way, guarantees them a winning season. So I'm guaranteeing them a winning season.
Unbelievable. What are you drinking, and do you need to go to the hospital because you've got to be sweating this one out?
Yes, I'm drinking my own pee, and yes, I need to go to the hospital.
There you go. All right,
is this being recorded? Wait.
Sadly, it is, but that's all right. We already knew you'd do that. All right, so they now head to Cleveland, Lake Erie is no longer on fire. The Cleveland Indians were out of the playoffs early.
They're the Guardians, anyway. Sorry.
Did I say Indians?
You did. I'm back to the driver right now.
Maybe I got to stop drinking my own pee and get to the end of the program.
Start drinking mine.
All right, we're going to move on from that now. All right, so 12-3, 9-6, Browns at home. What's going to happen to the Jets?
Okay, so it's now just a few days after Christmas, a few days before New Year's Eve. The Browns and the Jets are trying to decide what items from that they got were gifted. Do they need to return? Do the Jets need to return the win they just got? I sure hope not. Cleveland has Deshaun Watson for many reasons. Deshaun Watson is not a popular player, in terms of stuff that happened off the field. he was terrible last year when they brought him in. They gave him a ridiculous contract. For that reason alone, it's easy to root against Cleveland. Sorry, Bill Terhune. They do have some talent though on that offense and that defense, and that defense got Myles Garrett, among others. They are a good team. And I do believe, well, I don't know if Deshaun will ever be the Deshaun that he appeared he was in Houston. I still think he will get better. But knowing that this game means something, because at this point the Jets would be fighting for a playoff spot most likely, I do believe the Jets will pull out a win on this one.
Never expected to be so optimistic. I am loving this.
I don't feel well. Yeah, there's. I definitely need to be checked out after this.
Being the father of two must have really changed your DNA, because I agree with you. I think the Browns, being a Steeler fan, and again, I apologize, Bill DeHune, as Jeremy said, I agree. I think the Browns are in that division are one of the worst in that division, and they're no match for the Jets, I think. I said this last time. This is assuming everyone's staying healthy and that the most all the pieces of each of these teams stay on the field. So with that said, 13-3 after the Jets beat the Browns, you have them at 10-6, which, wow, when was the last time double-digit wins in a season for the Jets?
I don't know. Probably the last time that I weighed a respectable weight.
Oh, okay.
So it's been a while.
It has been a while, yes. I won't speak to that because you look great to me. But that's of course, this is on radio.
He adds 20 pounds, not the 40 that I've added.
Exactly. So there we go. So now we finish the regular season. Patriots at Gillette Stadium. What's going to happen? Now, I guess we should preface it. They could be already clinched the playoff berth and then are going to be sitting guys. But let's assume, argument's sake, they need this game. What's going to happen?
Well, I have to go on the premise that my current record of 10-6, you know, it's unlikely that they will in that AFC that they will have clinched anything for sure. Not impossible, but unlikely. So this game would be, I believe, is important to them. And certainly even if they clinch something, they would like to get, you know, finish a higher seed. It's the Patriots. I predicted the Patriots were going to win the first game because I just thought that they were going to do it. Now this game is in Gillette, at Gillette Stadium in New England. You know, again, I don't think New England's a particularly strong team. Although they do have our fellow tribal member, Juju Smith-Schuster. So there is that. Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
I thought so. And the other interesting thing, we don't actually know. They haven't, and a lot of these games, they could change, but they haven't even announced what date they're going to, you know, show this game, because they'll depend on, you know, who's potentially playoff worthy. Mm-hmm. As much as I hate this, I think New England is going to, because Bill Belichick, who was the coach of the New York Jets for all of one day, he loves to stick it to the team. And while he's not on the field, I think he will have these guys, whether they're doing well or not, or whether they're not even in playoff position, he's going to have them revved up. I think that the New England's going to win. I think it's just going to be a tough way to end for the Jets to finish the regular season. But I think New England's going to win. It'll be Jets will finish 10-7.
Wow. Okay. And I did agree with you on the loss. Mostly because I looked at it at 13-3, I felt they were probably going to rest guys. And
yeah, that makes sense.
Based on my prediction, I also just think that if the Patriots are having a bad season and Belichick's on the line, they'll find a way to win for him, and they were going to beat the Jets no matter what happens, whether sitting guys or playing them all, the Patriots are going to win that game. So, wow, we are looking at a winning season. Me with about three more wins than you have, but still, I think you would again sign off on it right now.
I would sign off on a 10-7 season for sure. Let me ask you a quick question, Adam, because I haven't asked you what. And you know, I was having a good conversation with one of my friends, Josh Yawak, who's a Bears fan. Josh, many years ago, he hung out with us. He's not an Aaron Jones. He's not an Aaron Rodgers fan. He says he's good, but he thinks he's overrated. Maybe the most overrated ever, he said.
Wow.
What do you think of him as a signing for the Jets? I mean, certainly, obviously, he's an upgrade of what they had, but I'm curious what you think.
I thought it was an outstanding signing. I mean, this is a guy who's won Super Bowl. He still has it. He did an amazing year last year. And he's now out for revenge. I think he shows this ability to play injured, shows the ability to play even if he's hurt in any way, shape, or form. He's a quality leader, although he does have a lot of enemies. But I think these young guys will be enamored with his checkbook and will love playing alongside him. I think it was a great signing. I think it was an absolute necessity of a signing. Just to give the Jets some credibility, you throw Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. Outside of him on your fantasy team, you're probably going to win more games than you lose.
I'm with you. Like I said, I think at the end of the day, it was a trade that they had to make. I think, you know, yes, he's 39. Yes. You know, again, my friend Josh made some interesting points as to why maybe, you know, his poop isn't as rosy as many of us think it is. But I'm, like I said, if you're asking, you know, at the end of the day, if we were going, both of us would have predicted far different records if we were going into another season where we're expecting Zach Wilson as the starter. So
that's right. Whether it would be Geno Smith or whether it were Mark Sanchez.
Geno has panned out better than we thought now as a Seattle starter, which kills me, but still, like Aaron over both of them. Well,
I think he made a deal with the devil. I don't think Geno Smith, I think he was perfect.
I never made a deal with him.
I'm sorry?
I never made a deal with him.
You're not the devil.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not the devil. I've told you that many times. You may act like it, but you're not him.
Okay, my bad.
All right, so very comfortable. You're a confident Jets fan, which, again, there aren't many, and that's not you. So maybe you are the devil taking over. So with this optimism and this, let's look at some predictions that show listeners have sent in and experts have said online. And you tell me if you see any of these things happening, okay?
Okay. Exciting.
Now, we were just talking about Aaron Rodgers. There's a prediction Aaron Rodgers breaks every Jets QB record, primarily talking about the big two. They've only had one 4,000-yard passer, which, of course, was Joe Namath in 67. And they've only had one 30-touchdown passer, and that was Fitzpatrick in 2015. Do you see Rodgers breaking those?
Namath is the only guy who went over 4,000. He died in 67.
That's what it says. They only had one.
I'm just thinking about the lineup. I think he can break the 30 touchdowns. I don't think he's going to break the 4,000 part of it, but not because he's not doing well, but just because I think the running game will be strong enough that that's going to take up some of that yardage and some of those run things. But I think he has a shot, definitely a shot of being another 30 touchdown guy. And I think he won't be far off that 4,000.
All right. There you go. So number two, Garrett Wilson breaks the New York Jets single season receiving yards record, by the way, held by Brandon Marshall at 1502.
1,502 yards, Garrett Wilson. Yes, he's going to do it.
He's going to do it. Now, the single season receiving touchdown record for the Jets is 14, also held by Brandon Marshall and old guys Don Maynard and Art Powell. You think he's going to top that? 14 touchdowns?
I think he will tie it.
Okay, there you go. To be the fourth to tie it. So no one breaks it. All right, fair enough. So you seem really high on Aaron Rodgers.
I think equally as much I'm high on the talent he's got to throw to. You know, I know he's got his people, Lazard and Rokop, that he may want to lean on, but I think he's going to develop and really realize these young guys, as Wilson, he's a much better target to run to, and I think he's going to have develop a nice relationship with them. And I'm not saying it's going to be Montana and Rice or anybody and Randy Moss, but I think it's going to be a good tandem, and I think they can do a lot together in the next couple of year or two.
Nice. All right. And the third one, that the Jets are going to end their playoff drought and make it all the way to the AFC Championship game.
Play this Jeopardy music right now.
Yes.
I do not believe they will make it to the championship game, as much as I would like them to. I do not believe they will do that. I am going to cautiously optimistically say I think they will make it into the playoffs. I don't know if they'll win a game, but I don't see them winning the two, and I don't think they're going to. My record doesn't show them as having most likely a bye. That's where they could start in the second round. So I'm going to say yes to the playoffs, no to the championship game.
There you go. So I think most of the people, I don't agree that they're going to make it. I agree with you. I don't think they're going to make it to the championship game. I do think, obviously, they'll make it to the playoffs. And whatever happens there, it'll just be riding the high. So, all right, moving closer to the end of the end for this broadcast, whether you consider it unfortunate or exciting. You're doing your fantasy league. You mentioned before. Who is your number one fantasy league pick from the Jets? You get one pick for a Jet.
This is for specifically this year. This is an all-time, correct?
Yeah. This is you this year. Rodgers, Wilson, Gardner, who is it?
It's interesting too, and I will just say this because I have, and I was just talking about this with a coworker today. I think it was today. I have a general rule where I don't ever pick New York Jets for my fantasy team if I can avoid it, because if they do well, that's great. But if they do bad, now I'm angry, and my fantasy team stinks. but having said that, I actually think, God, if I thought, I think it's going to take a little bit for Breece Hall to get back into it, because I would actually say Garrett Wilson. Well, I'm assuming we're not picking individual defensive players.
You could. So. No, you absolutely could.
Okay, then I would do Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner, there you go. I went with Garrett Wilson because I tend
to. I would have gone there otherwise, yeah.
Sadly, though, my wide receivers tend to be terrible. So that's just what happens. All right, so one last question before we go on. Now, I think last time we spoke was a few years ago on about the Jets. We talked about your favorite Jet player. Now I'd like to know, what is your favorite Jets memory? Now, while you're thinking about it, I'm going to share mine, which is actually a two-parter. One, the one that always makes me laugh was the Mark Sanchez butt fumble.
Yeah, the butt fumble.
I'm sorry. When I'm sad, I think about that and I laugh because it's just such a funny scene.
It's such a Jets thing to do.
It really is.
It really was.
And then when the Jets socked it to the entire NFL, when Mo Lewis knocked out Drew Bledsoe in 2001, opening the door to us being tortured and have to suffer with Tom Brady, as they
said. That wasn't the best memory either.
Those were tough. It's a favorite memory because we got to experience a once in a lifetime player in Tom Brady and a team that it was equivalent to, you know, the Mickey Mantle Yankees, but it was Tom Brady. But the Mark Sanchez butt fumble, I'm sorry, is hilarious. So what is Jeremy Fishman's favorite Jets memory?
Okay, so I was actually at this game, and I actually witnessed this. It was against the Patriots. It was the early 2000s. I was working for the Lakewood Blue Claws, another minor league team, with a season ticket holder, Joe Soriano, and invited me as part of this. He used to take me to a game. It's halftime. So already you're going, wait, it's halftime. What? And we were by the area where the teams come onto the field and leave the field. This is, again, old Giant Stadium. And I see an individual walking not straight out into the center of the field, but they're kind of walking. And of course, the listeners right now can't see my hands going, the wavy motion. And it was Joe Namath drunkenly making his way out to center field, where he, a few minutes later, and I didn't know this until later on, would try and kiss Susie Colbert.
That is so awesome.
So unfortunately, the problem is that I would love to have said there was an actual Jets, you know, on-field moment. Like, there are players, there are this, there are that. But I can't think of an actual – all the moments I think of that are like, oh, those are memorable. Like when Dan Marino did the fake spike, that was against the Jets. Like, like you said, the butt fumble. There's all these things, but they weren't actually great Jets memories. They were great football memories, and the Jets were involved. But, you know, I just haven't had, again, I was born in 1975. I was born about 6 years after their lone appearance and, as turned out, victory in the Super Bowl. The only other thing I would say is there was an episode of What's Happening in the early 80s where Dwayne was doing gambling based on favorite uniforms, and he picked the Jets in that game. That was my other. Would that count as a favorite memory as well?
That's pretty good. You can add that.
Yeah. I did enjoy when Mark Gastineau used to do a sack dance, but there isn't a specific sense of that. I did enjoy that as well.
I think
I'm going to go with Joe. I'm going to go with the unfortunate, and I'm glad he's sobered up and he's done his better in his life, but the Joe Namath drunken walk out to Susie Colbert to try and kiss her.
I want to thank you for truly bringing credibility to the show with a Dwayne Wayne reference. Hashtag what's happening, what's happening now.
That might actually be the reason, and I don't remember this, that might be the reason I became a Jet fan in part. My dad was a Giant fan, and I wanted something a little bit different. And then I think what solidified it was the What's Happening episode. And I encourage our listeners who are probably weren't born until about 40 years after What's Happening went off the air to to try and find it. Or maybe I'll find it and you can post it later
somewhere. I definitely will. And we'll make sure to add the rerun dance to it and a couple pictures of Raj so we all know what the true
best is. Shirley. Don't forget Shirley.
Please. And his younger sister, Dee Dee. Come on. That was great. Oh, man. Jeremy, so there you go. 13-4 is my prediction. 10-7 is your prediction. Early exit in the playoffs. This has been great. I can't thank you again for coming on the show. I do hope the Jets give you some enjoyment this year because I know the Yankees are not. The Yankees are torturous.
Had to go there, huh?
I had to mention it because as a Yankees fan, you always look. You almost try to avoid the football season, but now you can't wait for football season to start.
I am the rare Yankees Jets fan. And I will say, because most Jets fans are also Mets fans, and think about the misery of that. They're also usually Islanders fans, too.
That's true.
So I've had some winning in my life, and the Yankees have always done that. But right now, it's rare that I'm going, oh, my God, make this baseball season end. I can't wait for the Jets football season.
Oh, my goodness.
That's something that seems very foreign and something I didn't think I'd ever say.
That's incredible. And I love that. It's the second show I've done in a row where the Mets got a negative review. So
if you can't take a dump on the Mets, who can you take a dump on?
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right, listeners. Well, thank you all for listening to Talking with People. It's a QF production hosted by Adam Pallant. And my guest, of course, Jeremy Fishman. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Make sure to follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook so you will be alerted to future episodes and hit the follow button where you find your podcasts. While you're at it, if you are enjoying the show, leave a review, right?
Of course.
There you go.
But only if it's good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, if you want to be on the show or want to chat, you can also reach me directly through Twitter at LoneDog71. So keep your ears and eyes out for the next few episodes. We have fun guests coming up. We're going to preview the Commanders, the Browns, the Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, and more. Now, here is some closing music by Jason Lick. Now, he's a freshman at the College of New Jersey. Take it away.